Deuteronomy chapter 11. We want to read beginning at verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for allowing us to be here, for giving us the health and the strength, and putting a desire in our hearts to meet with you and to gather with your people and fellowship together around the singing and the praying and around your word. And we pray that you might speak to our hearts tonight. We pray that you would take your word and use it in our hearts as we begin this new year of 2020. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of 2020, and tonight we stand on the threshold of the first full week of this new year. And as we begin, I'd like for us to apply these words in verse 11 to this new year. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. As we look out at this new year that lies ahead of us, it is, in a sense, the land whither ye go to possess it. And the Lord tells us something at the outset about this land that is the year 2020 that we are going forth to possess. Notice that it is a land of hills and valleys. This new year will be like that. This new year will be a time, a year of hills and valleys. There will be times this year when we will be on the hilltop. Life will be going along in a very good way. We're well, our families are well, things are going good on our jobs and our homes and our families. The car and the washing machine and all of the mechanical things in our lives are working like they're supposed to. We're living on the hilltop. But there will also be times this year when we will be in the valley. Things will not be going so well. Perhaps it will be an issue with our own health or the health of a loved one, a husband or wife or one of our children. It may be problems in the home with children. Children who are rebellious and want their own way and defy and challenge our authority. The valley may be related to problems and difficulties at work. The valley may be related to change. What kind of changes will we experience this year? The valley may be related to financial stress or financial problems. We may walk through the valley of the shadow of death with a loved one or a friend this year. There are some here who have walked through that valley in recent years. Some even this past year. As we think about these things, there are as many examples of the hills and valleys that we might face as there are people in this room. But however high the hills are, or however low the valleys may be this year, The words of this 12th verse apply in both places. Notice, if you will, verse 12. Well, let's read it, verse 11 again. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Notice that word, careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. The Lord our God is God of the hills, and He's God of the valleys. There's an interesting portion of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 20. We won't take time to turn to it. But in that chapter, Ahab and Israel had just won a great victory over the Syrians. And so the Syrians went back and they did an after-action report concerning their defeat. And this was their analysis. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 23. Their gods, talking about the God of Israel, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. That word plain means level place. In other words, what they were saying is, let's fight in the opposite place. This past battle, we fought on the hills. And their gods are the gods of the hills. And so this time, let's fight against them in the valley. And surely we shall be stronger than they. But now listen to what we read in 1 Kings 20 and verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He's not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. The message of those verses is that the Lord is the Lord of the hills. He's the God of the hills, and He's the God of the valleys. We need to remember that in this coming year. Sometimes we're guilty of having the Syrian mindset. The Lord is the God of the hills. We don't have any trouble believing that, do we? When we're healthy and our family is healthy and things are going along well, yes, the Lord is the God of the hills. But there's a danger that we face on the hill. We sing about that danger in a song that Ron Hamilton wrote, Lord, I Need You. Sometime when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from You and soon forget to pray. Many times it's on the hilltop when we're full that we forget the Lord. When we say, we wouldn't certainly verbalize it, but when we say in our minds or certainly by our actions, who is the Lord? We're doing very well. That's a danger on the top of the hill. And that's when many times the Lord brings us down into the valley. And we learn there that He is the Lord of the valley. And we find that in the valley He draws us back to Himself. He draws us close to Himself, and our soul and our communion and our fellowship with Him is restored. And so this year, as we go to possess it, it's going to be a year of hills and valleys. Maybe you're on the hilltop right now. Maybe you're in the valley. But no doubt, this year, there will be times when we will find ourselves in both of those places. But whether we are on the hilltop or whether we're in the valley, it is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord are always upon it. And we could add there what we read in Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. His ears are open unto their prayers, we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. So not only is it a land that the Lord our God cares for, it's not only a land that his eyes are always upon, his ears are open. Whether we are on the hilltop or whether we are in the valley, his ears are open unto our prayers. This year of 2020 is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. This 12th verse is the pledge of God who is the truth. It's the pledge of God who cannot lie. It is his pledge. It is his promise that he's going to abide faithful from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. But how about us? How about those of us who are saved? Are we going to be faithful to him? That's the question that is presented here in verse 13, if you look at the 13th verse. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And it shall come to pass if, that little word if, is a little word, but it's big in importance. We don't see that word connected with the Lord. We don't see that word connected with the Lord and his care and with his eyes being upon us from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year in verse 12. It's because we don't see it there because there are no conditions upon the Lord. He's faithful. There is no variableness nor shadow of turning with him. He abideth faithful. But this word if in verse 13 is a word that belongs to us because it brings before us our condition. What is our condition going to be this year? It's interesting that we find this in the 13th verse. 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion. And it's our rebellion that will be our problem in 2020. It's our rebellion that will keep us from hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord, unto the commandments which he commands us here in his word. It's our rebellion that will keep us from loving the Lord our God. And let's don't forget what love is. It's not some outpouring of emotional words. We see what love is right here. Love is hearkening diligently unto the commandments of the Lord. Exactly what the Lord Jesus tells us love is in John chapter 14 and verse 15, where he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He says it again in verse 23 of that chapter. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And so it's our rebellion that will keep us from hearkening diligently unto the Lord's commandments, which he commands us this day in his word. It's our rebellion that will keep us from loving the Lord our God. It's our rebellion that will keep us from serving the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul in this coming year. So the question becomes, how are we going to deal? How are we going to deal with our rebellious heart in 2020? How are we going to be faithful in the light of His faithfulness? How are we going to be faithful to the Lord in this new year? We want to think about that for a few moments and consider some faithfulness resolutions. You know, this is the time of year, and I guess we're a little bit past it, not too far past it. This is a time of year when people come up with New Year's resolutions, things that they want to do or not do, things that they want to change or not change in the coming year. But instead of calling these things New Year's resolutions, we want to call them faithfulness resolutions. Because if we will think about these things in this coming year, if we'll do these things in this coming year, we'll find ourselves being more faithful to the Lord. The first faithfulness resolution is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31 is the verse we want to look at. And we want to look at the last three words of this verse, where Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. This is our first faithfulness resolution for 2020. And it's the one on which all of the others that we will talk about will hinge. Faithfulness to the Lord in 2020 begins with our dying to self. Dying to self. And something of the depth of the meaning of those words is found in Romans chapter 6. I'd like for you to turn there, if you will. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 5. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. That's how God sees us if we're saved. Crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. God sees this old nature as dead. That's how He sees it. When we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this old man was crucified with Christ. Yet we live. That's what Galatians 2:20 talks about. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Our old man is crucified with Him. And if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. This is what baptism pictures. This is the testimony that we are giving. This is what we are saying has taken place in our lives before we ever came into the waters of baptism. Baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Only the blood of Christ can do that. But it is the outward testimony of something that has taken place in our heart, that we have been planted together with Christ in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That henceforth we should not serve sin. This passage in Galatians 2 and verse 20 tie together. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In God's reckoning, the old man is dead. And so Paul tells us in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6, likewise, I want you to think like God thinks. I want you to think your thoughts, His thoughts after Him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word reckon is an interesting word. It's telling us to believe. It's telling us to claim. It's telling us to lay hold on. It's telling us to live in the light of what God says is true about us. And what God says is true is there in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is what we're to reckon on. This is how we die daily. And this is how, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Dead people don't have any more problems with sin, do they? Dead people don't gossip. Dead people aren't talebearers. Dead people don't have bad attitudes. Dead people don't lie. Dead people don't covet. They don't desire what other people have. Dead people are freed from sin. Folks, that's how we're to live the Christian life, to reckon ourselves dead. Dead. To lay hold. To believe. To live in the light of what God says is true about us. This is how we are to live. This is how we're to die daily. And there's something interesting about this word daily in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31. One of the meanings of that word is throughout. Throughout. Now put that in there for the word daily. I die throughout. That's what has to be done. We can't get up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning and reckon ourselves dead and head out and think that putting ourselves to death is a one-time thing for that day and then, you know, we'll do it again tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. It has to be done throughout the day. In fact, it has to be done every moment of every day. Because when you give the old man any place, the smallest place, in our minds and hearts, he'll manifest himself. This is the first faithfulness resolution for this new year. To die daily. And it's the first because all the others are dependent on this first one. They're dependent on our dying daily. The second faithful resolution is found in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 we read, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." God manifest in the flesh rose up a great while before day and went out into a solitary place and prayed. What does that tell us about our need? This is how our day needs to begin. Spending time in prayer. Asking the Lord to examine us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Point it out. Show me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The second faithful resolution is prayer in our lives every day. The third faithful resolution is found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study this book every day. And we need to study it because there's a host of reasons. But one reason that we need to study it is because Psalm 119 and verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And the false way that we need to hate the most is our own way. Our own way. This way that seems right to us. This way that allows us to have our will many times in the name of the Lord. The false way that we need to learn to hate the most is our own way. And we get that understanding here in this book. We need it. Because it's here in this book, in the Word of God, that the Lord teaches us about our heart. And something about the depths of the deceit and the depths of the wickedness that is here. And how the arm of flesh will fail us. How that we cannot have any confidence in the flesh. Before we leave the house every day, we need to spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. But we'll never do it unless we die to self. Because if we don't die to self, we'll stay in bed. Most of us probably have the exact moment when we need to roll out of the bed and have time to clean up and eat a bite and head out the door. But that doesn't leave any time for prayer. Doesn't leave any time for the study of the Word of God. The third faithful resolution this year is to study this book, to spend time in it. The fourth faithful resolution for this new year is found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother Benny was talking about the day that's approaching. It's the day of the Lord's return. We won't be obedient to this command unless we die to self. Because self always has something else to do. Some other place to go. And self has a very way, a deceitful way of convincing us that it's okay. If we aren't careful, we'll find ourselves like Martha in Luke chapter 10. Cumbered. That word means overoccupied. Too busy. Too busy to come to church. And what will happen is we will miss the same thing that Martha missed. The one thing that is needful. And that is sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing His word. Fourth faithful resolution for this coming year is to be faithful to come to the services. The Lord's here at every one. The fifth faithful resolution for 2020 is found in John chapter 7 and verse 24, where the Lord Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. So, I put that on this list because I need to think about it. I need to think about all these things. I don't mean that. But this is one I particularly need to die to self about. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Got to die to self to do it. Because this involves putting our imagination to death. Oh, our imagination. Why, it makes us almost omniscient, don't you know? We know how to discern situations. We know how to discern what people are thinking. We know how to discern what people's intentions are toward us and the people around us. John chapter 7 and verse 24 takes us right to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, a verse that we spent several messages on last year. Sounds funny, doesn't it? Last year. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But we'll never do this unless we die daily. Unless we die throughout the day. The sixth faithful resolution is in relation to our fellow believers. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, where the Spirit of God says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." I believe that verse covers every believer in this ministry. "For the body is not one member, but many. And God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And He's placed them in the body of the local church to labor among the people of God. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." And so when we read 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." The Lord's put us here to labor. To labor in this ministry, to labor in this body, to work for Him, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's not talking about some exclusive or elite group. Every believer in this ministry fits into that verse. And so the next verse applies to every believer. And God says there, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." This is another verse that we talked about earlier last year. Doesn't say that we're to esteem our fellow believers very highly in love for their personality's sake, or because they're easy to get along with, or because they esteem us and they appreciate us, or for any other reason. No, it says that we're to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Folks, we'll never do that unless we die daily. Unless we die throughout the day. Unless we spend time with the Lord in prayer. Unless we spend time with the Lord in His Word. Unless we spend time assembling ourselves together with God's people. These are just six faithful resolutions. And certainly the thought that goes through our minds is that we know these things. We know these things. And we do. But we need to remember what the Lord Jesus said. In John chapter 13 and verse 17, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Want to be happy this year? If we ask 100 people on the street, "You want to be happy this year?" you'd probably get 100% response. "Yes, I want to be happy this year." When we ask Christians, do you want to be happy this year? Yes. Here's how. Here's how. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. May the Lord help us this year to do these things, to hearken diligently unto His commandments, which He commands us this day, to love the Lord our God and to serve Him with all our heart and with all our soul. He is going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful whether we're on the hilltop or whether we're down in the valley. The Lord our God is going to care for us. He's going to care for us through this year. His eyes are always upon us. His eyes are going to be upon this year from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. May we be faithful to Him in this new year of 2020. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to think about these things on the brink of this new year. It's just a few days old. We pray that we might consider these things and others that You bring upon our minds and hearts, that we might serve You, that we might be faithful to You this year, that we might be a blessing to You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.